Hey, comedy fam, if you like the comedy advice on this podcast, you are going to love our newsletter. I send out weekly newsletters with comedy tips, updates on our live streams, and a lot more. So join it, linked in the show notes. What's goody, Hot Breathiverse? Welcome back to Hot Breath Live. This is our weekly live stream every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on our YouTube channel, where me, Joel Byers, and fellow comedian Yoshi So go live to answer your most pressing comedy questions to help you level up your game. And we're going to get into not only your questions, but some hot topics in the comedy world.
Hot.
Fresh off. Hot breath. I just want that hot breath to get in there. But if you guys aren't already, subscribe to our email list, because we have some questions coming in from there we want to start taking ahead of time as well. And without further ado, the first thing, I mean, how are you, Yoshi? I should first say, we've been talking for a while, you know, for people that don't join the live stream, we have a pre-show show in the green room where people that join the live stream get some behind the scenes access, where we were spitting some tea today.
Man, I am doing good, brother. It is, I've got a couple busy weekends coming up of just shows like in different places, so super excited about that. And then it's also like, this is a busy month. It's Mother's Day, it is my wife's birthday, and then my kids are also all getting out of school, and so it's just a lot happening, and it's like the end of like sports season, so I'm in full shoot myself in the foot mode. It's
just so thrilled about it.
Yes, I am. I am so happy, guys. I am so happy.
That is a father in denial right there. That is a father who every May regrets all of his decisions. Yeah, you and I have a show together in Columbus, Georgia.
Next
Thursday. Yeah, May 16th. We'll be in Columbus, Georgia together, and then I will be in Panama City for two nights.
Nice.
Doing shows down there on the 17th and 18th. And, of course, this upcoming Monday, the 13th, I'm teaching the Clean Comedy Workshop, which, as of this recording, there are five spots left. So if you want to join, I'd go ahead and recommend clicking the link in the description of this episode. No shows this weekend because I don't want to brag, but as you may know, I'm a member of the Greater Atlanta Rose Society, and this weekend is our big rose show at the Botanical Gardens. So no shows for me. It's all roses this weekend. Big deal. It's the Greater Atlanta Rose Society Rose Show at the Atlanta Botanical Gardens, Friday through Sunday. Come through, fam.
Yeah.
I want to see some floribundas and some hybrid teas. All sorts of goodies. I know. I'm in. I'm all the way in. I'm going to be helping the judges. I'm going to be tallying judge votes. I'm going to go around with them and take tally of it. I know. I'm so in.
This is gentrification gone wrong. When it goes too far.
I'm just going for the material, guys. It's like
hilarious.
Best in Show, but with flowers. People get so intense. I was there last year. It gets intense.
Here's the thing. I've seen you around your garden bed.
Yeah.
And the smile that comes over your face is priceless. Joe came to my house. I've got this bush.
Right, lantana.
Yeah, and just like, are these lantanas? I was like, no.
Gorgeous lantana. The pollinators love them too. Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, good actually, color. I really do like it because I just see there's the hummingbirds come to it, and lots of bees come to it. And it's like just full of like life. So there's lizards in that thing. Yeah, it's
They're great.
A very vibrant kind of bush. But the fact that you knew what it was right off the bat, I was like,
instantly. Oh, yeah. They're very vigorous as well. You got to keep them in check or they'll take off.
Oh, yeah. We cut them down. Yeah. They've been cut down.
They're hardy. They'll bounce back.
Yep, they do. They do. every season we cut them all the way off, and then they come right back. And then
very
just
hardy.
Repeat the cycle. Yep.
So we should get to the comedy portion of this show, I guess. So just want to shout out the Rose Society for anyone in the Atlanta area that wants to pull up on your boy.
Pull up.
See me in my real environment. See me in all the Rose glory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a joke about some people marry their mothers, but I married my grandmother.
Oh, it's so good.
Because she likes roses and antiques. I don't know what to do with it beyond that, but I feel like we talked about it on here before.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit about it. I think it's got, like, when you first started it, I've seen the progression. And I think there's room to, like, talk about other grandmother things. Like, I think do you have something about a quilt?
Oh, the quilting. Yeah. I don't at this moment, no.
Okay. I think we talked about it at a show about either like quilting or like old school grandmas. I've got like the plastic on furniture.
Mm-hmm. And I think we also said I could tie it into my melatonin stuff.
Yeah.
So it could be us going to bed at 9 p.m. So it's almost a way to get into that.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah, like drinking milk of magnesia.
Yeah. The Addy was Advil. You want some Addies? It was the Advil. The more I think, because I'm taping something at end of July, and I was thinking, at first I thought it would be all about cereal, and I would call it Cereal Killer. But I think I'm going to make it about adulting and call it like almost grown up, and then be about all the cereals in there and like the battle with sugar and having to eat healthy when you don't want to. But I just realized there's so much other material about like going to bed early and not wanting to go out. You know, I go out just to get back in. That's why I go out. I have this whole bit that's been forming around that topic. So I think it's more about just becoming an adult and not knowing what to do with that information.
For sure. Yeah, I like that.
I think we all deal with.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, just, I like that.
What are we doing as adults?
You know,
you're grown up. Now you need to lie down. What are you?
Yeah, that's my line. I use that. I literally have a line about like now that I'm 40, all I want to do is lay down. Now I got to this age, like sitting, like, ooh, that's my jam. Like I sit, like when I walk, I'll try to sit. Like I'll sit on the bus. I sit when I pee, like just everything.
I like to sit
as many different places. Like the closer I get to the floor, the better.
They call it grown up because it's all downhill from here.
That's a good line.
It's like grown up. I want downtime. I'm tired of being up. Can we get downtime? Because I think it's similar. Like Nate Bargatze has that joke about being in your 40s. It's like, we're going out. Where are we going? I'm driving separately. Like, he has a whole progression of like 20s, 30s, 40s. But But similar. A similar idea, but it's all true. Okay.
Yeah. I like it.
Well, there's the joke workshop portion of the show.
That's what we do, baby.
But speaking of joke workshops, we probably should get into the hot topic in the comedy world right now.
Yeah.
The Tom Brady roast.
Which
in our email, we actually got a question about, you know, the thoughts on the roast and roasting in general. And is roasting, quote, back? And also maybe what makes a bad roast as well? Like, it's kind of, there's a lot of different ideas swirling around the impact of this roast. Because goodness gracious, it was in an arena. There was like 16,000 people there. There hasn't been a roast on this scale before.
No.
So there's a lot to unpack with this. If y'all haven't seen it, it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
So just go ahead and borrow your parents' password and check it out because it is worth it. And I don't know what are your takes on the roast and maybe the impact? I mean, is roasting back? I don't know.
I mean, I don't think roasting ever really left. It's just that we don't do it very often. And I think in this very kind of like it's not something we could have put on terrestrial television, right? Like ABC, NBC, CBS could not have carried that. But Netflix and HBO Max, their content is a bit more skewed for it's whatever kind of thing. You know what I mean? So like only Netflix could do a roast of that nature. So I think really what it is we are just getting a glimpse into what's possible with entertainment. And now you've got, I mean, just look at it. A streaming service is killing it in terms of the best shows out. It's killing it in terms of the best comedy that's come out. Is really the only ones that are putting up specials in that kind of format other than like YouTube specials, right? And so I think you're getting some level of a network a la Netflix being sort of on the edge of being good with comedy and okay with the edges of comedy, right?
And it was live streamed.
Not only was it live streamed, but let's not get it twisted. Like Netflix also carries like Nate Bargatze, also carries Jerry Seinfeld, right? Mm-hmm. But that's where they're making all like their money. And don't get it twisted. Netflix might be paying these guys, you know, eight figures or whatever, but they're killing it when it comes to revenue. So a show like that Tom Brady roast, I think kind of elevates Netflix into the next thing because I think it challenges what you can do with television. So I don't think necessarily roast are back. I just think just live event comedy things are back, right? And just comedy in general is making a huge comeback. I mean, a la that Shannon Sharp Club Shay Shay with Cat Williams was the most downloaded video of like, I forget what number it is, but it's like, it's huge. It's like got 68 million views, some ridiculous number like that. But it's the most downloaded podcast of all time. Right. Like, and so you just got to think comedy and the ecosystem around comedy is making a huge, huge comeback.
Oh, dude, I was just reading an article this morning talking about the comedy boom and how in 2012, live comedy events grossed 370 million. In 2023, it was over 900 million.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's business. We see it. Like, we can see it. We can feel it. People are starving for a comedy. And, you know, this, if you're a good comedian, you can make an impact. And so I think there's just a lot of successful comedians making a huge impact. And I think part of it is just the talent level is next level. The people that were on that roast, just well curated, dude. Like, I honestly didn't feel like, the only people who I thought did bad were just the normies, but all the comedians crushed, dude.
And they did bad, if like quote unquote bad, just in comparison, like which you can't.
That's what it is.
No matter how great the writing is, you can't. They're not going to have the timing and the stage presence.
They can't perform like a comedian, but like
of course,
Sam J, Nikki. Kevin Hart, Kevin Hart hosting was freaking, I thought it was very next level. I thought he crushed it. Andrew Schultz, Jeff Ross, just like they all literally just lit that place on fire, right? It was incredible. And then even somebody said Bert and Tom were mid. I actually liked it because they were actually
different.
They were different than everything else.
That was
but dumb. I also think that's part of like their charm.
Bert and Tom were mid. They were getting roasted on Reddit about just how they just proved how they couldn't hang with better comedians.
But they're mid in comparison to those guys. But also, Bert and Tom are not roast comedians. When have you ever seen them on a roast? They've never done roast. Yeah, they're on podcasts, people make fun of them all the time. They don't have comebacks, so this is not what they do. But Nikki, this is what she does.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Jeff Ross, this is what he does. Schultz, this is what he does. Like, these people are seasoned vets.
Tony Hinchcliffe.
Hinchcliffe freaking murdered.
With maybe murdered. Everybody's riding him. I don't want to ride him. Like, yeah. But his roast of Bert was just. And
I think it was the best line.
It was so funny.
Yeah. Very
funny. Oh, my gosh.
Funny. Yeah. Yeah. And just like the delivery of it and just the way that he did it, even after the Sam J line, which I thought was also a killer line.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I got earthquake standing up. I must be doing well. And then he moved on to Bert. But yeah, it was so good. But yeah, I mean, I think that's what happens when you get the best roasters, right? I like that when they get the best roasters to do the roast. And I think that's what's important, is that they just like built an amazing lineup.
Yeah, I kind of want to play the Tony joke. Just for people who maybe haven't heard it. It's one of my favorite jokes I've heard in so long. Let me see if I can bring it up here. It's just, it's so good. Let's see.
He looks like at the Tiger King and the Liver King. Only
I'm going to restart it.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Bert Kreischer is a king. He looks like at the Tiger King and the Liver King only ate Burger King and had a liver that looked like Martin Luther King got beat up by Rodney King. Bert Kreischer is a king. He looks like at the Tiger King.
It's undefeated. It's undefeated. Oh,
yeah. It is. I mean, as a just a joke line of just the levels that it hit on were just, yeah, it was very good. Yeah. Yeah,
the delivery. I mean, all of it was just all there. And there's a lot of killer jokes. That one I've just been thinking about since I heard it.
Oh, because it's layered. It's a layered joke.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's got so many layers to it. I mean, because that's the hard thing, especially long roasts usually don't do well. But if you're able to connect them all the way through, oh my God, they're well done. Yeah.
Yeah. And Dub said in the live chat that Nikki's line on Gronk was really good too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nikki, yeah, that Gronk, dude.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh.
Yeah, it reminds me. I used to back in the Dizzy, White Boy Joel used to be a roaster. You know, I used to be out here in these streets roasting. I won Comedy Hype Rooftop Roast.
I remember.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
I remember there was, I went up against a bigger black lady, and this was back in, I said something about Black Thighs Matter, I think was like my opener line. It was, and you know, this is White Boy Joel. This is no. I'm the only white guy in the zip code. We're in the hood on the rooftop of this bar, and it was, and I won like $300 cash. I don't know how I got out of there without getting robbed, but it was it was wild. But that was back. I did I also did, when Comedy Central was going around to different cities, I taped Roast Battle, and I actually went up against Dulce, who we started together in Atlanta, but they cut us out of the show because there was already, like, in New York, they had, I think it was JP McDade and Yamanika maybe. So they already had like a white guy versus like a black girl.
Yeah.
TV, they're just, it's, you know, it's all
plug and play.
They're all plug and play in different, different casts like that. So I understood why they cut me out. I'm very grateful in hindsight that our segment didn't make it. But at the time, I was like, yeah. But fortunately, I did not tell anyone I was going to be on the show, or that would have been a very embarrassing taping. Guys, I'm on Comedy Central tonight. And he's like, where are you? They're racist. But it was a lot of fun. I used to love roasting, but I don't know. I haven't done it in a long time now.
Yeah,
but it's still very popular, and I think comedians can really, it's great joke writing practice. It's great.
So
you have to write in confinement. you have certain parameters to write within. That's why the Write 10 Club and our Facebook group is so valuable, because it's, you have this one word you have to create a joke with every day, and it just forces you to exercise a different muscle. So I think roasting is a very valuable skill for comedians to at least practice. Even if you don't go out and do a roast, I think writing roast jokes gives you a new writing muscle to where when you approach a topic, you can write from the roast mentality. I think I'd do it with like my cereal bit right now and talking about the different mascots, and I kind of roast the mascots in a sense. So I think it is a muscle comedians can learn, even if they're not quote roast comedians.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And the fact that you do it even clean is even better, because I think there's also a good exercise of how to, I actually think being able to roast clean actually hits harder than roasting dirty.
It just
hits different.
Yeah. It's the thing about writing clean, and that's what I've learned from teaching these workshops and people bringing jokes and being like, is this clean? How can I make it clean? Is it what it's really coming down to, the more I'm helping people write clean, is it's not getting complacent with your first punchlines and your first ideas. It's being willing to put in the extra effort to find the clean angle, to find the different verbiage, the different way to say the joke you're trying to say. And some people don't think you can make dirty jokes clean. Some are a lost cause, you know, it depends on what the premise is, but for the most part, there are ways around making a dirty joke clean. It was fun even when we did the Clean Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
When one of the comics was like, oh, this word's kind of is dirty. How can we make it clean? And we were all sitting back there talking about, oh, what are the different ways you could say this? And we came up with a great punchline.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think she ended up even doing the joke because she was like, forget it. But I enjoyed the joke. I think it almost came off more clever.
I think it did too.
You just dug deeper. You know, they call punch, like joke writing, a lot of it's like mining for jokes, mining for gold. And it's because you're mentally digging deeper and deeper to excavate that comedy gold, which is why it's called that, really. So super, super valuable skill set I think every comedian should have in their back pocket. Even if a clean show comes along, you can say yes to it and not be like, oh, I have to turn that well-paying gig down because I don't know how to do something, you know.
It's very
empowering for comics to have.
But overall, man, I do think the roast was a good way for people to get introduced, definitely to comedy, definitely from a sports perspective. I think people that like sports got introduced to all those comedians, all those formats, and I think that's super helpful. I mean, anything that makes comedy blow up and puts comedy in people's like zeitgeist, I'm all for. And I definitely think that roast did it. And also goes to show you, even like there were some things that were said that were just like, if you just had to put a word, the terrible things, right? But you put it in the context that you're being roasted. And then afterwards, all the noise was about like Tom Brady saying something to Jeff Ross about don't say that again kind of thing. And it's like, that wasn't even that bad of a joke. Like, but it was the one thing that obviously, that's the other thing about roast, is that there are parameters to roast and everyone has their parameters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very likely that Tom Brady had very few parameters, but he didn't want you making fun about other people in certain ways, right? And I think that was what he told Jeff Ross. And so I think that's the other thing about roast, is that people also have a limit. Like, you just can't go in on everything. And a lot of comedians talk about those parameters that they couldn't go in on every podcast afterwards. They're like, you know, it was a fun roast, but I couldn't talk about this topic because
I think Nikki Glaser said on Howard Stern that they didn't talk about his kids. I think everyone agreed to leave them out of it as a collective.
Yep.
I got randomly hired to do a roast very early in my career. It was a surprise roast of a guy's 40th birthday, a gig I would never do now, unless it was just stupid money. Pinos. It was a couple hundred bucks. I mean, it was probably like $300. And at the time, you're like, $300. I'll go to Iceland for $300. At the time, you know, that was the most money in the world. But it's literally, I had to write all these roast jokes. I called his friends and his wife ahead of time, made this whole script. I had handouts. I was like, $300, they're getting a deal here. And then I have to sneak into the party. She's hiding me in the back. And then at some point, they interrupt the party in the house and are like, all right, everyone, we have a surprise in the garage. And it's me doing a roast of this guy, not expecting it. The handout I have is of him in a CPAP machine. His wife sent me a photo of him in a CPAP machine that I handed out to everyone, almost like it was like a funeral, and it was a handout. But it actually ended up going very well. But it triggered my memory of I did like one roast about the kids, and it was just nothing. And I was like, oh yeah, we'll leave the kids out of it. So
yeah, for
and
sure.
Then I just kept moving from there, and it was totally fine. But it was the kids stuff in Tom Brady roast made me think, oh, I just remembered that I did that. And
yeah,
it was and these were rich people, and they should have paid me a lot more. And next time they will. But
yeah, especially when you have to write all new jokes.
Just
that audience.
Yeah, it's like a corporate event saying, ooh, can you do custom accounting jokes for our event? I was like, for $5,000, you bet your darn tootin' I will. Yeah. But at the time, $300 was like a million. Yeah. When you're two, three years into comedy, $300, sure. Who has that kind of money?
Yeah. 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 Those
yeah. That's rich. But yeah, I think everyone should definitely check it out. And that question was from Daniel Quintero on who responded to our email. I meant to shout him out.
Nice, awesome.
Well.
Good post. I thought it was good. I mean, you know, here's the thing. I've seen probably the last good roast before that. Trying to think. The roast of Justin Bieber I thought was really good, although that's probably like a while ago. That hasn't been.
I mean, has there been? Yeah. That's what I think that was another reason of like, is roasting back. I mean, there hasn't really been one on this scale.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because people have to, 16,000 people is crazy.
Yeah, people have to like be like, oh yeah, I want to get roasted. Charlie Sheen got roasted, but yeah,
these are all old. Trump had a roast. I mean, mm-hmm. I think Jeff Foxworthy. I mean, there's been roasts, but there hasn't really been one.
Yeah, it's been.
It
a
seems
while.
In a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Except
yeah,
for
so,
like
yeah.
Roast Battle, which was mm-hmm. crazy. Like that whole. Yeah. Franchise they started and made it a global brand is insane.
Oh yeah,
all yeah, from yeah, just yeah. in the belly room of the Comedy Store. That was very cool to see happen.
Yeah, and it's crushing too. They take that thing on the road, mm-hmm. and travel everywhere with that. Yeah,
yeah, that was very cool to see. I also had another cool question from our email list from Tom Shelton. Who said, I've taped a few of my sets. What do I look for when reviewing it if the crowd is not great for one set? Should I even consider that feedback? Looking for tips on reviewing, editing, and revising.
That's a lot in one question.
But I think it's basically how to review your sets when the crowd isn't great.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think overall, if you are doing the same kind of material and your laugh rate is, you usually get a laugh on a certain joke and then all of a sudden you don't get a laugh because of a crowd. Because I hate saying that it's a crowd or, you know, it was just a bad night or whatever, but if you get laughs 9 out of 10 times and then you don't get a laugh with the crowd, it might just be the crowd kind of thing. I think you can still review it and still review the things that you can control, a la your delivery, your control, your stage presence. You can control all those elements. Did it affect you? Did you say something about it? Can you watch your posture? Like, how did it affect the rest of your set? Did you still push through? Those are all important things that I think you have to do when you're reviewing your set. And I think that is still good way to understand how you did for that day. Maybe you're not going to change any of the jokes because they just didn't get it, or the person before you just didn't set you up for success, or just was not a hot room and they just weren't into it, kind of thing. But all the other things that you can control is definitely still stuff that you should like review when you're reviewing your set.
I think I heard Seinfeld say that good crowds are good for writing and bad crowds are good for editing. And a lot of the times when it's not a great crowd, there may be a line or two that still gets a laugh or still gets a reaction that maybe you can then build upon. And that can be something positive out of the set that maybe you're not feeling great about if it doesn't go awesome. But yeah, I do think every set gives you valuable information that you can learn from, regardless of the audience or the show situation. That Yoshi listed a lot of great things there, but if anything does work in these bad shows, it could be worth building upon.
Absolutely. Yeah. Don't just throw it away with the bathwater, as they say.
Yeah. And you know, everyone has different approaches to, I do a joke 10 times to see how well it works before I get rid of it. You know, one show shouldn't make or break whether or not you do a joke. Although sometimes I've had a joke that I'm super jazzed about. I say it once out loud in public and I'm like, nah, that's not it. And I never do it again type deal. So, but if it's a joke you believe in and it's something you're really interested and excited about performing, then one show should not make or break whether or not you do that joke.
For sure. Yeah. And I think sometimes when we get rid of jokes anyway, it's probably because it just wasn't ready. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you just got to shelf a joke and then come back to it at a later date when you are probably better as a comedian to write the joke. I think, who was it? Cedric the Entertainer said that. He was like, hey, you don't have to kill everything. You can just save it for a later time when you get better at comedy.
Yep. Just shelf it.
Yeah. Just shelf it.
And that was Tom Shelton. And we can do one more from the email list here. This is Anthony Martin. He said, one bit I struggle with is the opening joke. I try a mix of listening to comics before me and make a reference and one-liner. But what tips do you have to get the audience on your side quickly? Okay. So it sounds like he maybe listens to the comic before him and will do like an opening joke based on that comic. Any other tips to get them on your side?
Although I think it's a little lazy, I'm okay if you're like, wasn't that great? Give it up for him. I don't like it all the time, but if there's like still energy, like from the last comedian, mm-hmm. I'll try to just bump up the comedian and just give them props on an amazing job. And I think that energy can then be transferred into like your set. You know, I used to do that where I would try to find something that they said. But I also think like even just referring to something that they said and being like, man, wasn't that hilarious? That joke about cereal, that was great. And then they laugh again and then you move on to your material. So I think it's okay to do that. I wouldn't try to write. Like sometimes if I have something that I think is good, I'll try it. But usually I'm also very honest whether I think it's going to work or not. And if I don't think it's going to work, I won't do it. But if I think it will work, I will do it. And when I do think it works, it usually works.
Yeah. Early on in my career, I was very intentional about getting to the venue and writing jokes about the venue or about the show. And that was like my probably early experimenting with like improvising on stage and really trying to be in the moment. And I may have referenced that a few weeks ago of like the improv being funnier than the written material. And when I would try to get into the written material, it would just crash and burn. But I think I do see comics at open mics roasting the show because it can get a laugh, but that's not the move. I would highly recommend you don't roast the show. Yes, like, positive.
Yeah. Go positive. And yes. People will be more on your side. And even if they're not laughing, they're rooting for you if you go positive.
Yes. The audience is there. They want you to be funny. I think sometimes if it's three or four people, the comic is like, what are you losers doing here? Nothing better to do on a Tuesday? Like, I've seen that more times than not. You know, this is coming from someone who hosted a show on a patio for 6 years. I heard it all out in that type of setting, you know, so it's a lazy move. I think what you're trying to do from the jump is just create a connection with the audience. And I think that's seems like what you were mentioning, Yoshi, of give it up for that last comedian, just something just to make a connection with the audience, or, oh, we're out on a Tuesday. Give it up for yourselves for coming out. Just a simple thing.
Who cares
if the comics in the back are like, oh, they're pandering, or just get to your jokes, loser. Just listen, you're trying to learn comedy. Anything you can do to help yourself have a good set. If it is, oh, let me get them on them side. There's my side by saying, hey, give it up for yourselves for coming out tonight. Who cares what any comic thinks about that? Just do it. You're at an open mic. You're trying your best. You need to get some energy going. That's a very easy way to just get them on your side and listening to you and responding to what you say. Oh, okay, we'll give up. We'll give it up because the comic said to give it up. You know, it's just, it's a simple little thing, especially as a younger comic, just a little oomph just to get the show going.
Yeah. Also, Hank Denton taught me this a while back about just like almost like a give it up version, but give it up if you're happy to be alive. And you'll get people be like, hell yeah. Like,
that works.
Like, if you're happy to be out on a Tuesday, if you're happy to be away from your kids, happy to be away from responsibility, give it up. Like, all those things, like, completely work. But yeah, I think just being present, but also, if you can squeeze out that one laugh right at the beginning and they're on your side, by all means, do it, because then they're with you.
And from a more technical sense of getting the audience on your side, you also want to look at your sets as like a first date. So you want to open up with something, a joke that is, well, one, funny. You want to get a laugh as fast as possible. In a 5-minute set, you want to get a laugh within 15, 20 seconds, if at all possible.
Yep.
And you also want to do a joke up front that's a little more introductory. It's a little more maybe about how you look or about your name or just something that if you're on a first date, it's kind of a conversation starter and not just come out the gate with, you know, you have a joke about the Ukraine war or something like that, which I'm sure if you're an open micer, your hot take on Ukraine or Hamas or whatever is really what the comedy world is missing as an open micer. I love that. I love freedom of speech, but it's got to be funny. It has to be funny first. I know you want to be Tim Dillon, you want to be George Carlin, you want to have a message. You got to have a punchline first. This comedy game is a marathon. Like, just get the fundamentals down. Learn the rules and then figure out how to bend and break them. But you do see comics is just edgy and this is, I got a thing to say. Is it funny? Can you make your day job funny? Can you make your pet funny before you go out there and try to make war funny and things like that? You know, kind of crawl before you walk here. But that's just my two cents. I don't
let them know. Joe,
call me old fashioned, but you know, back in my day, I want people to have messages and points of view and all of that, but I think a lot of times comics try to jump to attitude and message before learning fundamental joke writing. So
yeah,
just a little absolutely thing there. But yeah, so I think we answered Anthony's question there. I hope that helps.
Yeah.
Comics out there. But yeah, I send out a weekly reminder of this live stream and get people to reply with questions just because I think it's a fun place to interact and keep the conversation going as we do these every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern time. So we thank everyone for hanging out with us on this live stream. My heavenly day. I think it's time to land the plane. I think we answered questions.
Did we get any questions in the live feed?
No, it was more comments.
Okay,
people were replying to our marriage stuff we were talking about in the pre-show. I think Jonathan asked if the Jeff Ross joke about Robert Kraft was a thing that was off limits, which that was the joke that we were referencing earlier there, Jonathan. Thank you for asking. I think people were asking about the Clean Comedy Workshop. Yes, there are a few spots still available. You can join linked in the description of the episode for those of you that want to join the Clean Comedy Workshop. Learn how to write clean comedy and
for sure
book higher paying gigs. It's really not a big deal.
Yeah.
Dubs did ask about the Cat Williams special. I have not seen it.
I saw it.
He said it was live streamed.
It was
It was live streamed?
Yeah. So basically, I haven't seen the John Mulaney thing.
The John Mulaney thing was live streamed as well.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's Netflix is a joke weekend. So like the whole
week
and weekend. The Cat Williams thing was, it was okay. Definitely was not the roast. Definitely was not the roast. And I also think part of the, at least for me, I think there's a huge expectation now that Cat Williams did that whole interview, that the content that he is going to talk about is related to that stuff. And it wasn't.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw some comedians post about it and it wasn't great.
Yeah.
You know, it was great. That paycheck. I'm sure that paycheck was not mid.
Yeah, I'm sure it cleared for sure.
Yeah. Oh, and at the buzzer here, we can do this final question. Jonathan Ramilo asked, can you start doing open mics without taking classes? Yes.
Oh, of course. Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure. Would I recommend it? No. And that's just me. That's just me. I think structure is important if you're trying to do something like this, because it is good to just know the structure of how to get to a joke. And people that teach classes, they just know structure. And that's what they're teaching you. They're not going to teach you how to be funny. The funny comes from you and your experiences and anything that you find to be funny. But just joke structure, just I don't want to call it the mathematics of jokes, is such an important thing to learn.
Yeah.
It's just fundamentals is such an important thing to learn. And I just personally think classes or some kind of like learning about it is helpful. But that's just me. You don't have to. If you're disciplined enough to write on a regular basis and go up and try stuff, then by all means, do that too. Because there is nothing like the teacher of the stage. The stage will teach you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been the number one advice through all the podcasts has been you've got to get on stage. And I think I will say if you do take a class, just make sure it's from someone credible, someone you aspire to be like or not necessarily be like, but someone like respectable. Some people out there are teaching classes just for the money and they may not have the experience or the professional point of view beyond, oh, I know how to structure like a course and can teach people. Like it's Just make sure it's coming from a credible place, is all I'll say. You know, whoever you decide to take a class from, just make sure it's from someone that you respect and has some clout in this game. Because some people are just professional teachers.
Yeah. It may not be professional comedians. That's what Joel's trying to say. He's trying to be nice about it. But yeah.
Yeah, but like, there are some great people. There's some teachers who aren't comedians that help a lot of people. So I'm not saying all of them, but there are some that are just keep your eyes open. If you have a question about one, I'm happy to answer it.
Yeah.
In the pre-show we do here. The pre-show show we do here at the live stream. But yeah, classes aren't, you don't have to. Classes are really great. Like we referenced earlier, of comics wanting to jump to the attitude and the messaging before they learn the fundamentals. Classes are great to learn the fundamentals that you can then build upon. And they can just shorten the learning curve in that sense. But it's not going to, a class won't get on stage for you. Like a class, you'll have a grad show, and that's great. And that can be a great entry into your comedy world. But the reality of comedy is you learn the fundamentals and then you have to take them to the stage and rinse and repeat over and over and over again.
The learning happens stage, leave stage, go back to stage. Yeah. Stage, leave stage, go back to stage. That's where the most learning you get in comedy comes from, which is why you should try to get on stage as often as possible. Even if you take a class, I would also say this, anyone who takes a class, do not let the graduation class be the first time you do it. Don't do that to yourself. Don't let the graduation class, the one that you're graduating, you're inviting all your friends, be the first time you actually do the material in front of people. Try to be up as often as possible before then.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Good call. Nice. Very nice. Great question there, Jonathan. Yeah, that's one I'll get asked a good bit. It's about classes and such. So, very cool. Well, let's land this plane. You know, I'll be at the Rose show all weekend, so no shows for me this weekend.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm working the Rose show.
I'm doing a set at the Red Clay Comedy Festival. Some people in town.
That's right. That is in Atlanta this weekend. Roy Scovel is going to be here.
Yeah, Scovel's going to be there. Yep.
Oh,
I don't know if I'm on his show because I forget which one I'm on, but I'm on one of them.
On Thursday?
I'm on a Saturday 6 p.m. show.
Okay. Rory is Thursday and Friday.
Oh, okay.
I think Friday sold out. May have to go to Thursday. I may have to sneak in there.
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
Rory is the GOAT. We'll see.
Review this special. I like that.
Yes. Yeah. We'll have to talk about him another time. And Sinbad. I still want to talk about Sinbad. They did a tribute show for him last night.
Oh, that's awesome.
Netflix is a joke festival. But he's the GOAT. He deserves a... We need to talk about him for a whole show. Comics need to learn from Sinbad. He deserves more. He gets left out of the conversation a lot of the times. But he's done it all. Mm-hmm. He did the stand up, he did the acting at a high level, music.
Yeah.
My wife is home. that's why I was talking all willy nilly at the pre show show, because I was unsupervised. Now I'm supervised. I need to get out of here. But we appreciate everyone for joining the live stream. We do it every Tuesday. Join our email list if you would like reminders of when we are going live, and you can get your questions in that way. And also join our Facebook group where we do the daily joke writing contest, and you can connect with other comics in the Hop Breathiverse. You know, I think a big theme we're talking about is accountability in community. And that's a big part of what our Facebook is just that accountability and that community to get your questions answered, get feedback on jokes, write jokes with other people, and we can all just get better together.
Get better together.
So we're going to land this plane. We appreciate all y'all. Feel free to hit us up on social media with any questions. But otherwise, we will be back next Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We love you. Bye, y'all.
now.
Go join the Clean Comedy Workshop, linked in the description of this episode. You know what to do. Bye, y'all.